Morning. It's good to see you. Thanks for the concert, by the way, the kids program. That was fantastic. You know, I love Christmas traditions, and of course, the kids concert is among them. But one of my favorite Christmas traditions would be lattes, eggnog lattes, of course. Turkey dinner decorations, family and friends. We have 9 grandchildren that live in the Lower Mainland and 2 in Italy. And of the 9, 7 of them had piano recitals or Christmas concerts or whatever this week or the last 2 weeks. We just couldn't get to them all, sadly. But life is a bit busy too, isn't it? Here's some Christmas trivia for you. Did you know that no one actually knows the day of the year when Jesus was born? It's kind of interesting, isn't it, that that's not mentioned in the Bible. We know that he was born when the Roman Emperor was Augustus and Quirinius was the governor of Syria, because that's actually stated in the biblical record. But the Bible doesn't say when during the year he was born. The Bible writers make a great deal about when he died. A great deal of attention is given to exactly when in the year that happened, because it happened during the Jewish Passover, which in 2020 is in the middle of April. The biblical writers emphasize the importance of the theological connection between the Passover and Jesus' death. But they say very little about his birth. Most of what we know about the birth of Jesus comes from 2 biblical writers, Matthew and Luke. And in those 2 books of the Bible, we find out where Jesus was born and about the angels and the shepherds and the wise men, but neither of them considered it important to note the date. So why December 25th? Well, apparently, December 25th was chosen because of a pagan holiday which ran from mid to late December. So Christmas in December was a response to a raucous pagan holiday back during the time of the early church. It seemed to be a really good time to introduce a God-centered celebration. In other words, the pagan holiday was Christianized, and I think that's cool. Now, there's a contemporary parallel to this in Brazil. My daughter-in-law, who's a missionary in Italy, her name is Karine, she's Brazilian. She was born in a southern city, southern Brazil, called Curitiba. And she tells me, so she's my authority on this, that Christians in Brazil have needed to respond to Carnival. Everybody knows about Carnival, and it didn't occur to me until talking to my daughter-in-law how awkward this is for Christians who want to maintain, you know, sober, healthy living. Carnival in Brazil, especially in Rio, is worldwide famous. I think people think of it as a huge street party, which isn't too far off. Now, Canine tells me that Carnival is just before Lent. Lent is when you're supposed to deny yourself. Originally, Carnival in Brazil was a delicious meal prior to the self-denial of Lent, but it became a time of indulging every human appetite. Now, because of this, many churches in Brazil, horrified by the excesses, run their own celebration, something that would honor God. So they organize retreats, a Bible camp, and put on youth events, and provide, you know, as they call it, good, clean fun. And that's been a Christian approach to non-Christian festivals throughout the centuries. So Christmas was an attempt by the church to bring a Christian focus to an otherwise non-Christian celebration. Now, let's think for a moment about the tradition of gift giving. This tradition we often associate with the gifts that were given by the Magi, or the wise men, to the baby Jesus, like gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Although I understand that gift-giving was also a Roman winter solstice tradition at that time. So, a bit of a poll here this morning. Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? So, how many of you in your family tradition open your gifts on Christmas Eve? Yes. And Christmas Day, how many of you? So, well, Christmas Day takes it. Christmas Eve was the time when we opened our gifts when I was a kid. For the most part, my dad, who was in the military, was posted in either Ottawa, Kingston, or Montreal. And I actually added up all the years, and if you total them, where we lived in that kind of triangle between Ottawa, Kingston, let's get this geographically correct. So it'd be Ottawa, Kingston, and Montreal. That would be better. Although the opposite for you, right? I'm imagining it, so you have to think of it backwards to what I just did. If you add up all of those years where we lived within that triangle, it was 15 of the of my first 19 years. Now, my grandparents lived in a small place called Long Sioux. I bet you none of you have heard of that, right? Oh, a few of you have. That's just west of Cornwall, Ontario. So it's like halfway between Montreal and Kingston. They lived on this gorgeous waterfront property right on the St. Lawrence River, which was an amazing place for us kids. So we spent most of our summers there, as well as weekends and as many holidays as possible. So Christmas was usually at my grandparents' place, and it was a blast. Now, sadly, my grandfather always had to work on Christmas Eve. So he'd always miss Santa. That always bothered me as a kid, because Grandpa always had to go off to work. And then Santa would come. We'd open our stockings with Santa, and then he'd leave, and soon afterward, Grandpa would return from work. Then we'd open the rest of our gifts, and you won't believe how long it took us kids to do the math on that one. So we had to change that tradition for me as a pastor, because I've always had major Christmas Eve responsibilities, multiple services on Christmas Eve. So we'd take our kids to one of the Christmas Eve services. Afterward, we'd have munchies at home, and then we'd send the kids off to bed. And they weren't allowed to come down the stairs in the morning to open their gifts until they heard the music playing. So you'd hear the giggling and the shh at the top of the stairs as they impatiently waited. Then the music would play and charge, down they'd come. Christmas in our home was so much fun. Em and I would just laugh and laugh at our crazy kids because we were having so much fun together. So gift giving is a big part of our Christmas tradition, although I know that as a society, we're always just one step away from insanity when it comes to spending. Now, we associate Christmas gift giving with the Magi giving gifts to Jesus, but in actual fact, Christmas gift giving starts with God himself. Over and over again, the giving of the Messiah and eternal life through the Messiah is described as a gift from God. So we read, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, according to this verse, what do we earn and deserve? It's death. So that's a fair wage earned for sin. And we all sin. So just like the money owed to us by our employer, we earn the payment for sin, which is death. Death is the payment due for dishonesty, greed, immoral behavior, hateful words, hateful actions, arrogance, conceit, even impure and hateful thoughts, Jesus says, condemn us. Sin is defined in one verse as falling short of the glory of God, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In other words, when we fail to live for God and his glory, his purposes, we're sinning. So no one, not even a good-hearted, kind person, can claim to be without sin. In fact, claiming to be without sin is a sin, because we also read, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, is not in us. Now, those of us who have been Christians for a long time, we get it. We're even more aware of our shortcomings as we get closer to God. It's kind of weird, but the closer you get to God, the more you know of God, the more you are aware of how you fall short of his glory and his purposes. But also, the more you get to know God, the more aware you become of his infinite grace and mercy. So the wages of sin is death, but by contrast, God's freely given gift is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Now, let me illustrate this to you this way. Now, my grandfather, the one who always had to sadly work on Christmas Eve, used to teach me how to share my faith because he's a passionate evangelist. So he told me how he had a conversation with a fellow at work, and the guy was really confused about God's gift. This guy was confused because he thought that the only way that you would ever gain acceptance by God was to be really good. You know, you had to do your best, and then you might be accepted by God. So clearly, he believed that you can earn it, like if you try hard enough. So my grandfather recreated the scene of this conversation to teach me what I might do when I'm sharing my faith. So he offered me his pen as a gift, and he asked me, David, what do you have to do to get this gift? So I hazarded a guess. I got to reach out and take it? That's right, he said. So go ahead and take this gift, which I did. And it was a really nice pen. This used to be a really nice pen. I got this from a friend who was on the organizing committee of the 2010 Olympics, but I'm afraid it's kind of worse for wear now. But this is the nicest pen I've got. He then explained, as I held on to his precious pen, that when someone gives a gift to you, all you do is you receive it. You don't pay for it, or it wouldn't be a gift, but a purchase. And you don't earn it, or else it's a wage. And you don't beg or argue for it, because it's freely given. All you do is receive it. Now, I never forgot that, and I've used that many times as I've shared my faith, although I have to also say that my grandfather took his beautiful pen back, which kind of killed the illustration. So according to this verse, what we earn is death, but what we're freely given is eternal life. And what do we have to do? What is on us? It's to receive. And I love this verse. The Bible says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. It's not a matter of earning. It's a matter of receiving and believing. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And this fits really well with the next text that I want to share, which says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is what? The gift of God, not by work, so that no one can boast. So this text makes it abundantly clear that you can't earn it. You just can't. Our salvation experience is not by works. The verse is definitive. Therefore, no one can boast that they earned it. No one can boast that they've been good enough or tried hard enough to buy their salvation. Even the best person on this planet cannot boast that they got it because they tried. Our salvation comes to us from God by grace. And grace means unmerited favor. That is, that which you don't deserve. It's not what you deserve, it's what you get. So our salvation comes to us by God's grace through faith. It is his gift to us. We believe and we receive. And that's what Christmas is all about. Those who follow Christ, we too are able to give gifts of love. And the gifts we give come in many shapes and sizes. We've even heard about some ways in which we can contribute and participate in generosity here this morning. It can be kind deeds or financial support to a missionary or to a good cause like Radiant. Prayer for people who are facing trials, sharing our faith with those who don't know about this marvelous gift. For example, one Christmas I decided to give the gift of a kind deed, just a random act of kindness. So I went for a walk in a prayer time down at the Vedder River. Now you have a walk, you know, a rotary trail along the oceanfront. We have one, a rotary trail right along the Vedder River in Chilliwack. And there was this narrow track of packed down snow, and on either side the snow was deep and slushy. There was virtually no one else on the path, and it occurred to me that if I met someone, I would step off the path into the snow and slush and give them the packed down track. That would be my secret Christmas gift to them, my random act of kindness. So with this in mind, I watched for the next person to come toward me, and eventually I saw a man walking a little dog. He had his head down and didn't seem to notice me coming his way. As we got closer and closer, I stepped off into the slush just before he got to me. But guess what? He stepped off the path too. And who got the path? The little dog. So I thought this was hilarious. Here I am walking in the slush, he's walking in the slush, and the little dog is walking right between us on the path. So I guess the little dog was the recipient of my random good deed. Now my point is that there are many gifts that we can give. Jesus says that if you give a cup of cold water in his name, you will not lose your reward. So think about some gift of kindness, some random act of kindness you might give to someone this Christmas. We associate Christmas gift giving with the Magi giving gifts to the baby Jesus. But what we've seen here this morning is that in actual fact, Christmas gift giving starts with God himself. The gift giving of Christmas isn't about Magi giving good gifts to Jesus. It's about God giving the gift of his son to the Magi. Because the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And if you've never understood this before, I invite you this morning to receive this gift that God is giving to you by receiving and believing. And I hope that you do enjoy a truly Christian Christmas. Let's pray.